freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle's sports station.
And Brook Wire, you are. And Brook, you are.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
It was magical. A magical day on Saturday as the Mariners come from behind dramatically to sweep aside Toronto and advance to the ALDS, where they'll face the Astros. And you knew they would have to, right? If you're going to truly show that you've arrived, that this thing is for real, you're going to eventually have to get past Houston, whether it's in your division or in the playoffs or wherever. So, you know, I got no fear or trepidation or any of that. This is how it should be. You should have to play the Astros.
Would you rather play the Guardians? Yeah. Would you rather play the Yankees? Yeah, on paper. You'd rather play both of those rosters because their 26-man rosters are not nearly as good as Houston. Houston's been there and done it. But, you know, this is for today, and it's for this week, and it's for what's to come. And to your point, you're right there with them. Here you go. There's four left in the American League.
And I think, Brock, you have a little advantage in that while they've been sitting there, you've been playing. And I know, you know, there's some exhaustion level, et cetera. But with 2 days off, I don't think that's going to be a huge factor. Your bullpen's going to be fully rested. You get to set your rotation. I mean, like, things work out pretty well for you with the extra day off because of the sweep. You've had the unique experience, though, of sharpening, of getting yourself into that playoff mentality, and of the celebrations that continue to bond this team and bring them together. Yep. Here's some sound from that celebration. Julio, he was trying to talk. He was trying to give a real answer, but Ty France just wasn't going to let him.
Yeah, but I feel like this is what the team does. I feel like we stay just fighting and trusting each other. I feel like at the end of the day, we stay committed to ourselves and we're able to come with a dog.
Ty France, yeah.
Did Ty France just call out his own name?
I don't know.
Did Ty France just, like...
That would make
like,
it so much better.
Like the O'Doyle Rules guys from Billy Madison? Like, he dumps beer on Julio's head and is like, Ty France!
I like how Julio kind of sang through it.
Yep.
Yeah. Julio tried to power through this.
You get that freezing cold beer going down the back of your neck, man. I could see how that would be a bit of a challenge.
It's pretty amazing, these two games, too, that we all thought Julio, for them to win, your biggest star, have to shine on the biggest stage. He got hit by a couple pitches. He got on base. He did his thing defensively, but he was not the story. I mean, he was not the brightest shining star. He was not the difference maker, which, again, says something to this team, that your young superstar and phenom, he didn't have to carry the day. You shoved it on Friday, and it was the whole collaboration of everybody on Saturday.
Meanwhile, Cal Raleigh was one of those stars, Brock. An incredible series for him. I never got your answer, by the way. I was asking people earlier who would have been your MVP of the series.
Well, 100 on the Shove Report makes it hard not to vote for Castillo.
That's what I said.
He was your star. Castillo was your MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So Luis absolutely played to his maximum potential, but Cal Raleigh probably
number two.
No question about it. He hits the home run, right? He hit Goliath, and he made him bleed in that moment, and he gave you a lead, and he gave Luis Castillo the opportunity, Mike, to rip it, to not have to think and be perfect on every pitch and go, oh, crap, I can't give up a run. I'm up three. I mean, that is an enormous just mental.
I haven't heard that yet today, have we?
What's that?
The home run. Do you want to hear Cal Raleigh's home run?
Yeah.
And now the 3-2 on the way to Cal. Swing and a drive into right field. This one is going. It is going. It is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Cal Raleigh, a 2-run home run, has just shocked the fans here at Rogers Center.
Yeah, so it was shocking for everybody, man.
You like that. You like that, right? I like cut 17, Maura. Okay, so there's Rizzer on the call. Rizzer on his game. The guy's just nailed it all weekend long. This is what I love, because this took me back to Alem Junior High, Mr. Jones and Mr. Parker during March Madness, when they would, we wouldn't teach chemistry that day or science. We would be watching basketball. And this school teacher did the same in his classroom, as the big screen's not used for math or English or science. We're going to watch the Mariners for the first time in 20 years, kids. And this is what it sounded like from the elementary school room.
Big Joker! Big Joker! Big Joker!
I remember kids chanting stuff like that in elementary school, too, but it had nothing to do with Cal Raleigh or his home runs.
Amazing. Big
He's
dumper.
Really leaning into the big dumper thing, by the way. Cut 19, once again, talk about this whole guys going third person thing. Ty France saying Ty France. Cal Raleigh just embracing the nickname.
Hey, it's Big Dumper. Let's go get the next series. Let's go, baby.
Hey, Big Dumper here.
Let me hear that, Ty. Hold on.
Dump truck
what does your mom say when you start introducing yourself as Big Dumper? Like, what is your mom's reaction to
his
that?
Mom, she's so like, his mom responded to the school kids that were chanting and said, hey, Big Dumper's mom here. This is great. So she's in.
I don't want to be Big Dumper's mom. Like that. Sure.
I would love to hear.
Be Mama Dumper. She's Mama Dumper.
Hey, it's Cal Raleigh for Kenworth Dump Trucks here. You need a Big Dumper?
Let me hear that. Hey, but hold on. Before we throw Ty France totally under the bus, let me hear Cut 15 again. Let me hear Julio trying to be baseball Julio and just getting beer dumped on. Let me hear that again.
Yeah, but I feel like this is what the team does. I feel like we stay just fighting and trusting each other. I feel like at the end of the day, we stay committed to ourselves and we're able to come with a dog.
Ty France, yeah. Whoa.
It could have been Brad Adam was interviewing him.
That was
maybe
Brad
Adam.
Said
that was Brad Adam. Yeah. Yep, that was Brad Adam. Yep, nope. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not throwing Ty.
Don't you dare try to throw
that's,
Brad
that's
Adam
so
at me there.
That's so much more fun though to picture Ty France just dumping beer on everyone's heads, going Ty France, Ty France.
That would be kind of a money move, right? If you're in there, you just like dump beer and just yell your own name.
Salk, they're doing this, man. Seriously, they're doing this. Just listening to all of this in these 2+ hours today, they're doing this. They're doing this. Mm-hmm. This isn't a June swoon. This isn't a July fall on your face. This isn't wrong additions at the trade deadline. This isn't, oh, we're just short. This isn't running out of gas in September. This isn't those old Mariners, the same old Mariners. This isn't any of that. As I'm listening to this and reflecting on this and what this means, and it is not a fluke. This does not feel chintzy or flimsy. Right, it doesn't feel like it's just a sandcastle built out on the beach. Like, oh, this is a great wave, and we're getting all these contributions, and nobody expected. It doesn't feel like any of that, you know. And it hit me. Sorry, between my wide eyes right now. Like, man, just listening to these stories and these players and these moments and service when they clinched on a Friday 10 days ago, and going to Toronto and taking care of business in their house. Mm-hmm. This just feels real, and that may be the best part of all of this, right? This isn't just a one and done, oh, they're a great story, oh, yeah, they're going to go to Houston and play. No, man, you got Kirby who dealt and finished that off. You got Castillo for 5 more years who had 100 on the shove report, right? You got just filth coming out of that bullpen that Goldsmith laid upon you.
Yeah, there's a very real chance that they will be better next year than they are this year. Right. I mean, you start looking and this is part of that process of learning to believe, of learning to understand that you are right there with the big boys, that you can yep. play with anybody in this league, and the future very much undetermined for these Mariners. All right. Coming up next, we will go through everything you need to know, some great sound from an awesome weekend, and then talk to Pete Carroll at 9:30. It is Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports on 710. Your home for the Mariners playoff run. And on SeattleSports.com. Mike Salk.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
A weekend for the ages, something we shall remember forever, and what guarantees us that there will be more baseball played this year at T-Mobile Park. It was an epic weekend in Toronto. Dominating pitching performance from Luis Castillo on Friday. Big home run from the Big Dumper. And then as great a comeback as you will ever see the following day. Let's start with Castillo, though. 7 1/3, 6 hits. 4 of them were garbage and 6 strikeouts. He hit 100 often. He used both of his fastballs. He used all 4 pitches. Scott Servais, pretty darn happy to be able to hand him the ball.
Being able to put him out there today, it was a no-brainer for me. And then you take his talent on top of that. You know, it's a 98, 99 mile an hour fastball that's sinking and cutting and running. And wow, some kind of performance by him. But you know, something we talked about When you go to the trade deadline, you're trying to acquire players that'll get you over the hump, so to speak, or be difference makers. They're hard to find. They really are. But, you know, the combination of stuff and makeup and being around him, you know, the first couple of weeks I was around him, it was clear to see that it's how he's wired.
Well, he was ridiculous. And unfortunately, Robbie Ray didn't have it yesterday, but it did set the stage for the comeback. Down 8-1, down 9-5, get 4 runs in the 6th, 4 more in the 8th. With the J.P. Crawford double, and then the one you will remember forever, Adam Frazier doing the honors.
Cal will lead. Here's the pitch of the way. Swinging a line drive into right field. Down the line and toward the corner of base hit. Cal being waved around third. He'll score. Frazier in at second with a two-out RBI double. Claps his hands, and the Mariners, for the first time in the ballgame, have a 10-9 miraculous lead here in the top of the ninth inning.
There was no way they were going to surrender it at that point. They win the game. Yep. They move on, and we all get to rejoice.
Yeah, and they join history, the 29 A's. I don't even know where they were. Philadelphia, who knows? Maybe they're playing overseas. They were the A's in 1929 in Major League Baseball, the 08 Wild Red Sox, the only teams in Major League Baseball history to come back from 7 runs in the playoffs. Just truly remarkable stuff. As you heard from Aaron Goldsmith last hour, he broke the Chev report. Luis Castillo and his stuff, he and his buddy out of the bullpen both shut down the Chev report. On a scale of 0 to 100, he and Munoz both broke it. Both 100. Their velocity was up. Their movement was up. They were untouchable. And it was the team, man. It took everybody on Saturday. It took Santana. It took Frazier. It took Crawford. It took the guys at the bottom of that batting order to produce. And because of it, well, they get to go see the boogeyman in Houston tomorrow.
I'll have you know, the 1929 Philadelphia A's, Brock, won the World Series and were led by Jimmy Fox.
And the OA Red Sox.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
The A's before he was a Red Sox. I didn't even know that. Learn a little something new every day. The Mariners, we do know, will now go to Houston. In fact, they're already there. Got in yesterday. They'll work out today and then play game one tomorrow. It'll be Logan Gilbert against Justin Verlander, of course. Just a god-awful 12:37 start. Okay, fine, you get that one day. But then they also have it on Thursday after a weird off day in Houston between games one and two. Luis Castillo, obviously, going to get the ball in game two. But then it gets interesting. I don't know exactly what the Mariners will do. Shannon suggested earlier they'll go with George Kirby. It's certainly an option. Robbie Ray would be an option for game three as well. But I think it's probably more likely to be Kirby and try to use Robbie Ray to get some really some really big outs that you're gonna need with Yordan Alvarez, etc., coming out of the bullpen. I think that may be the best way to attack this Houston team.
If you feel like the Mariners have faced Justin Verlander a lot this year, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yeah, this will be God's number. This will be the 7th time they faced Justin Verlander this season. They did have one outing where they took him deep 4 different times. Outside of that, Mr. Verlander was pretty filthy. And our buddy Chris Egan down there in Houston reminded me, or let me know, Mike, that those stupid boxes out in left field, they're called the stupid boxes because they parallel the street that's right next to it in downtown Houston.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Oh, the football. We're going to talk to Pete Carroll in 10 minutes. It was a tough, tough weekend for his defense. They were really responsible for that loss in New Orleans. The offense was good. Geno and the offense put up 32 points. They racked up yards on the ground. Penny had a good game. We'll get to him in a moment. Brock, your guy Ken Walker had a really good game, and so got to see what he's capable of when he breaks contain. But the defense gives up 37 yards, 200-yard rushers. They had no answer for Taysom Hill and the quarterback draws. They couldn't get off the field at the end of the game when they needed to give their offense a chance. It was just an awful experience for that defense. Even worse, Rashad Penny, who I mentioned, he was playing well. Then he broke his fibula. Likely to miss the rest of the season. Just a devastating injury for him, and not his fault. I know people have gotten on Penny for the injury, you know, for being injury prone. There's nothing you can do about this. I mean, this is a broken bone. It's such a bummer.
Yeah, this isn't a hamstring. This isn't a soft tissue injury. It's none of that. He's turned into a pro, a difference-making pro, and you just feel terrible for a guy that bet on himself this season, took a one-year deal to bet on himself, and looks like, and we'll hear from Pete here soon, looks like he may miss the rest of the season. You know, the more I look at my notes here, and I got a lot of questions for Coach Carroll, I think what strikes me, Mike, is this team is playing fast. And it's not even about want to defensively, honestly. Daryl Taylor and Nwosu and those guys are flying around. They're playing as fast as they can. Woolen is playing so fast. The offense is flying. You're getting contribution from your tight ends and your receivers. And as you saw, you know, your young running back explode, Kenneth Walker III, for a 69-yard touchdown. You're seeing the speed. You're just not seeing the violence. You're not seeing the force. You're not seeing just enough of those forceful plays defensively at that first level. Al Woods was awesome. Phenomenal yesterday. The most impactful guy in your front has been Al Woods through five games this season. But, boy, you need to figure some things out and figure them out in a hurry because your offense, they're supposed to be the problem. They're supposed to be the challenge this year. And all Geno Smith is the number one rated passer in the NFL.
It's everything you need to know. It's everything. That's it. That's it all. That's everything.
He's got 113 QB rating.
You want to hear about some more members of the 1929 Philadelphia A's?
Sure.
Pitching
did the
08
Red Sox, by the way, win the whole thing or not? Did the 08 Red Sox win the whole thing too?
No.
They did not.
No. They won in 04 and 07, 13.
All right.
Sorry.
The 29 A's, yeah, give it to me.
Yeah, well, you got Lefty Grove that year and Rube Wahlberg. Those were your two top pitchers. Lefty
is this
Grove
according to Wikipedia, by the way? I'm always guarded about
1929. No, this is baseball reference.
Oh, okay.
This
good.
Is baseball reference. All right. Rube Wahlberg went 18-11. Earnshaw went 24-8 that year, Brock, with a 3.29 ERA. So they could certainly pitch. You could see how they'd be able to, you know, keep people in, I don't know. I'm looking through their offense. Jimmy Fox, the only guy I've ever heard of. So when they came back in that game, it was Max Bishop and Joe Boley and Sammy Hale, Al Simmons, Bing Miller, Brock.
Yep. Hey, I'm telling you this right now, Salk is your friend. You are not hanging out with Justin Barnes Tuesday or Thursday, okay? Just as your buddy and your friend, whatever happened Saturday, you have referenced the Mariner game on Saturday as yesterday four times.
So
I don't know where yesterday went for you, but I know this, Barnes, that is the last time he is hanging out with you after a Mariners game, okay?
Well, he texted me. He said, where are you? And I said, I was at the stadium. And he goes, come to Hatback after. I was like, okay, Falk's ready to get after
it. I didn't say it like that. It was just I was being nice. Come to Hatback after.
Sure. Uh-huh.
I don't think I said it so aggressively.
How long were you at Hatback Saturday?
Until we were asked to leave.
Yeah. Because it was closing. Hold on. Not because we were being rowdy, I think.
Goodness. Okay.
Maybe the two things are related. Who knows? Pete Carroll will join us next. Don't go anywhere. It is Brock and Salk on your home for the Mariner playoff run. Seattle Sports on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
The Pete Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Brock and Salk. Brought to you by Pizza Hut on Seattle Sports Station.
All right, Coach Carroll is here. It is time for the Pete Carroll Show. Of course, we do this every week following the Seahawks game, and unfortunately not as happy as last week. Coach, what happened yesterday?
Yeah, you know, we were 650-something, 652 or something. We're ahead, you know, and we came back and put ourselves in the lead, needed to hold it, and they go down and get an explosive play on short yardage and go ahead, and we get the ball back again, 5-something left. You know, we got time to go there and do it again and get back in, and we didn't get it done. So the game was really ours to be had, and there was a lot of amazing plays that happened in that game that would spark a win. And then there was some stuff that we didn't handle well enough that we thought we had, you know, planned for and all that, and were disappointed by, you know, and it happened on both sides of the ball. Third downs on offense didn't work out the way we wanted to. They really looked like they were playing us to run the football, and we didn't expect them to change that much. So it threw us off a little bit. And then the Wildcat thing, you know, it was effective in the short yardage situations. I think they're 4 for 4 on those, you know, and those were crushers, you know, to us. And the big play that busts out, you know, that was another short yardage shot. We just needed to play it better, and we were there and didn't get it done. So those were really frustrating because it was really a game to be won.
What makes that Wildcat so difficult to defend at times?
The Wildcat is all about numbers, really. It's about when the quarterback isn't handing the ball off, then you gain that extra blocker. So they've got a guy for everybody, and then you have to execute and really play together and finish off the blocks and make your plays when the time arises. And, you know what's coming. So that's the thing that's so frustrating. You know that they're going to basically run the football. With Hill playing, Taysom Hill, that's a different dimension than most Wildcats. If it's a running back, that guy's not very likely to throw the football. But you have pass availability, you know, when Hill's back there, as he showed. And so that's even more difficult. But so you get matched up, and everybody has to fit just exactly right to get it done, and you have to make your tackles. And if they only have to make a yard, there's a blocker on everybody, basically. So that's where it became really effective for them, and it really allowed them to control the game with their running game. And then the big breakout, you know, sets the stats all crazed and all that. But really, it's... And we, you know, it's not nothing new. We just need to do it better. And the big, heavy Wildcat thing was the thing that was really effective for them. They didn't have any receivers in the game, and they just ran right at you. And we knew it was coming, so it's tough.
Well, I'm going to talk, obviously, more about the defense, and we'll sort of get through the game. But let's just start with Rashad Penny, because I think it's on everybody's mind today. Reports came out this morning that he suffered a fracture. Where is he at?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a haul for him. This is a what they refer to as a tib-fib incident, and then he broke his fibula and cracked that. But it's the high ankle sprain element of it that makes it difficult, and there's a particular surgery that they do to connect and tighten down those bones. It's going to take a number of months, so he's going to miss a season. And it's really a heartbreaker for a kid that has really bounced back into the – you know, into the limelight of our program and our, you know, for us and all, and for himself, he's been through such a long haul that it's really just a heartbreaking loss for him. He's been doing great, and everybody can see it, and we've been so excited for him, and so he's going to miss us the rest of this year. He'll come back and be able to play again and all that. It's a really a clear surgery process and all that, but it just does take a long time.
Al Woods, was he able to make it out okay?
He's got a inflammation, you know, in a patellar tendon thing that it's popped up one time before. It's just kind of an aggravation thing. Likely that he'll be able to manage it. It wasn't an injury as much as it's just kind of an irritation that was too much to play on. He was having the game of his life and to start the thing off. You know, he had all the fans and all the family and everything, literally, and he was just getting off like crazy, and it was really exciting and fun for him and all that, and unfortunately couldn't finish it.
Coach, what's going on with the defense? I mean, this is not what we've become accustomed to here in Seattle, and obviously so much of your success has been built on defensive success. Where is this defense at?
Yeah, we're unable right now to find the consistency, you know, and we're not clean as we need to be, and that's just the process that we're in the middle of right now. We can see it happen. I mean, you can answer the questions. There's no mysteries. We got to make the plays when we get our chances. We got to fit the runs as we need to. We got to make the tackles when we have to. We've had there's like a couple missed tackles on touchdown plays. It's right, really good players in really good positions, and the guy gets through and makes the play better than we make it. It's uncommonly consistent right now. You know, it just doesn't feel right. And so we can see it. We know what we need to do. We're on the plan has worked out. We just need to keep battling. We need to be more consistent. And until we find that consistency, it's hard. And so and it also, because it's like that, little things are magnified, you know, a penalty here, or you're off the field there, you know, you escaped, you know, another opportunity, and we give it back to them, and it makes it hard, you know. So we've got a couple things that are working. One is our consistency, and the other one is we got to get rid of these untimely penalties that give guys stuff. You know, if you give anybody something in the NFL, they take it, and they own it, and they make you pay for it, and so we have to clean our stuff up.
Is there a level of the defense that seems to be most responsible for the problems? Is it defensive line? Is it what your linebackers are doing?
Well, I'd say we're kind of sharing it now. You know, Mike, we're kind of sharing it more than, you know, if it was that easy, it'd be easy to fix. But we're kind of sharing it, and there are running the ball at us a lot, You know, we saw 48 runs yesterday. We saw 40 a couple weeks ago. You know, we're seeing a ton of runs at us, and that's something that we have to deal with, and they'll keep doing it if you let them. You know, everyone was talking about the big passing in the NFL and all that. That's not the way the league works. The league takes what you give them, and so right now they're getting away with it, and we got to get this thing stopped.
And so, you know, you make the change, and I know that you sort of downplayed some of this at times, but it's hard for me not to think that the change to the 3-4 in the offseason, does that play into this? I mean, I've never seen your teams get run on like this. It's a new style of defense. How related are those two?
Yeah, things? What we didn't gain in the transition is we didn't gain the carryover, you know, in particular areas. And we didn't have the carryover of the strength of things that we had done. We had played the run fairly well last year. And that is not with us right now. So we've given up some to get some. And so the passing numbers are down and all that, well, for obvious reasons, because they're running the ball a lot. So we're trying to transition this to clean it up so that we can get the kind of consistency that we need. But we're working at it, you know, and it's there. I can see it. And you're right. It hasn't been like this, and we have to fix it.
Yeah, the NFL is not a business of excuses or explanations, but we can make some of those at times. And I guess an explanation would be the loss of Jamal. That when I look at, you know, a guy that's violent and physical and fits runs, his absence being felt, Coach, is that a fair explanation for some of this?
Yeah, because he's a playmaker, and he's a guy that makes plays out of normal plays and will hit things in the backfield. He'll run guys down. He'll affect the way you call your offensive plays because you stay away from them. It directs the football. You know, you can. Well, when we know where it's going because of, you know, how they're you know, affected by our personnel, then we can play to that. We did. That's not present, you know, in the front guys. And he's a unique player that you know, gives you a unique effect, and that certainly is a factor. I can't deny that.
What has Geno done best?
Geno's been extremely consistent. And to add with that his accuracy and tough throws. Just look at the first throw he threw in the game. You know, it was designed just the way it happened, but it all got squeezed a little bit. And man, he stuck a ball in there to Noah. Just a gorgeous throw, and then he just took off again. Here we go. And so it's he's been really consistent, and his accuracy has been just, you know, better than anybody's. He's also run well. He's moved well in the pocket. He created plays again yesterday, and really we got one. We lost one great touchdown scramble that he threw to DK that was a huge play for us, would have been. Again, he found it just like he did earlier in the game. His consistency in kind of creating is showing up too. So he hit Disley in the opener, and you know, those plays were all kind of similar. So he's found a real groove. He's really comfortable with what we're doing. He's got terrific players he's playing around. His offensive line have come through. Tackle's been really well again yesterday. It's a real good fit right now. And just it's really exciting. And somebody said it on the broadcast, I think, last night. They mentioned some of the names that have come to mind to me. You know, Richie Gannon, Steve Young, guys that I've forgotten about. A couple of the guys that they mentioned that were guys who kind of had careers that didn't work out well, but when they got to the end of it, they had everything together, and they now performed way different than they did earlier in their career. Geno's one of those guys, and so we just got to keep it going and try to stay explosive. I think we had 4 touchdown drives that were 5 plays or less. You know, it's bang, 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 and we're down there, you know, and so it's really fun to watch, and it's a great accomplishment for him.
I know you challenged Salk a little bit last week when he said, we didn't see this, Geno. And you said, well, we have. You know, we see it more behind the scenes. Geno, in a cute way, this last week when a reporter had asked him, you know, where is this coming from? And Geno just said, well, you didn't watch me throw, which I kind of appreciated that answer as well. But I think what has struck me, Pete, the most at this stage is his command. You talk about his consistency and his accuracy, and those are clearly the numbers. But I'm watching a command at the line of scrimmage, the command of cadence, the command of communication, the command of the huddle. There is just not pre-snap issues. I know there was one yesterday, but he's calling for it. Just his level of command right now is in a place that I don't know if anybody would have imagined from the outside.
Yeah, he did it again, too, like he had done a couple weeks ago with a couple things he saw in the running game, and we hit it again yesterday, you know, and That is the poise, you know, in the situation. The clock's coming down, and he's got the noise and all that, and he's making an audible that he knows it gives us a good chance, and he fights his way through it to communicate with everybody, and then we execute it, hand the ball off, and bang, there it goes, you know. That word is a good word for it, you know. That's what I'm saying. When I'm saying consistency. He's got this offense under control right now. So it's really fun, and there's a lot of dimensions to it, and a lot of guys involved too. So we're not going to be easy to stop. We got a chance to keep moving.
Is it sustainable for him? I mean, could he be your long term answer at quarterback?
He's doing it. He's doing everything we could ask of him right now. It's good too that he's got Drew. You know, he's got Drew nipping at his heels every day in practice. Drew does stuff, you know, and you know he's got good stuff going right there in support of what Gino does. It just keeps everybody on their toes. It's just the whole thing about competition. It's good, you know, and we like that it continues to be this way. Gino's not going to sit back now. He's not going to get comfortable. He realizes the moment, and he's really going for it. He's really trying to keep things at, you know, at bay and whether it's the media or whatever, you know, he's trying to do a great job with all of that. He's going to have a chance to really have a great year and the future. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't, you know, anything get in his way. He's physically in really, you know, great shape right now.
We'll get to Tariq Woolen here in a second and his just game-changing plays each
he's
and every
good
week.
Shape too. Yeah,
he can go. But just thinking back to your kind of defensive answers and into some of that conversation, who are some of the voices, right? If you said it at every level right now, we're all taking our turns. You got it. Who are some of the voices that can help turn this thing? Because Woolen's playmaking is awesome, but ultimately, who can be some of the forces on that defense, Pete, in your estimation, that can help turn this?
What you're seeing just in the last couple of weeks, you're seeing Tariq continues to get the ball. And if you noticed yesterday, Cody did it again. You know, he had an aggressive attacking force fumble like he had the week before. Those guys, those are game-changing plays. And those guys don't look like they're going away. They look like they're just getting rolling. They're just getting started with having effect. You know, as far as, you know, I don't know if you said voice. I don't know if you're thinking, you know, them speaking out. They're doing it with their play. And if they can continue to do that, those are the kinds of playmaking you know, occurrences that change your course of your future. And so I'm hoping that they'll do their thing. And, you know, I don't know how we'll keep getting this interception every game, but yeah, it continues to be a factor. He had his best game. He was challenging those receivers from the moment we got on the field, and he sat on guys. That's why he got the comeback that he took. He had sat on a bunch of routes on him because they couldn't get away from him. And he's just done a marvelous job. He had a penalty call that him was one of the most perfect line of scrimmage jams that he threw a change up at the guy and then came back and two-handed him, and the guy couldn't get off the line of scrimmage, and they threw a penalty on him. We've never done a better, you know, better job at the LOS, and guy saw it as a penalty yesterday. But so he's just done so many cool things. I think those are the kinds of guys. And Mafe did a nice job yesterday. He played tough and physical, and so the young guys are continuing to contribute. And Jordan was really all over the field yesterday too, as the centerpiece of, you know, the action and the voice and the activity and all that. He's a big deal in what we're doing.
What did Tariq hit on your?
I was literally going to ask the same thing.
Were you really on the miles per hour when he chased Taysom down?
Had him at 22.9. Which I don't, you know, we're just learning those numbers, but I know that's, I haven't heard of a 23 yet.
22.9.
Yeah, that's
what was DK last year when he tracked down his safety?
Buddha?
I'm guessing it was 22.1, but I don't know that.
Wow.
That's what I remember.
22.9.
Yeah, he the field just disappeared. He just, a couple steps and he got to him. He's done that a number of times already. I mean, it's like, that's okay, that's a factor for us. You break something, he's coming to get you. That guy knew he was coming. You know, Taysom looked over his shoulder at him. He knew it was coming.
What a Dixon hit on his scramble punt. That's not nice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hear you. That way he was supposed to kick the ball there, and we didn't kick the ball. And so I'm totally taking that. That's totally my deal. I could have not allowed that to happen, and it did. And that was a moment we just gave them an opportunity to have a turnover on the 13, and you know how easy can you make it for them? So unfortunately, that was the margin in the game. So
that's what you're speaking to, right? Like that, and you know, jumping off sides on 3rd and 5, and it's just some of those things that you just can't. Anybody in this league, doesn't matter who you play in the NFL, right? They will. You give them those chances. Yeah, this league just takes them.
Yeah, that's, you know, one of the things, you don't want to give your opponent anything. And when you throw games at them, when you don't, they have a hard time beating you. And that's we're not there yet. And unfortunately, I mean, we had big, big emphasis last week about the penalties. And we still had four in all phases of the game. We had four on teams, four on offense, four on defense. And six penalties in the line of scrimmage. Those are just really killers. Because those are totally us doing it to ourselves. And so these are areas that we have to get better at. If we're going to win games, we're going to win it by doing right. And so we're hard at it.
What are other teams doing against you? I mean, what are you seeing them? How are they attacking you?
Well, you don't really want me to answer that. Okay, but they have had some success, obviously, running the football.
Right? Well, I don't know. It's going to be too technical. Yeah.
They're running the football. 48 times they ran the ball yesterday. You know, they didn't have to throw it. And we didn't feel the threat in the throwing game yesterday at all, because they didn't need it, and that was enough for them. And their short yardage and their third down play was really, really good on both sides of the ball. Where we had just jumped to the top of the league a week ago, with a 9 out of 12 performance, we went 1 for 9 yesterday, and that was just not in the plans. We thought we would be able to keep going, but they did some nice things, and we didn't adapt fast enough. I wish we would have done a couple things a little bit quicker, and that's not always the case. That's when you're looking for all of the issues.
When the draft closed up in April, and we all left the draft and the draft festivities there and at the VMAC, and if I would have told you, hey, Pete, come fifth, sixth game of the season, you're going to have Woolen picking three balls off. You're going to have Kenneth Walker taken to the house from 69. You're going to have your two tackles face some pretty good dudes the first 5 weeks of the season and more than hold their own. You're going to see Mafe's role continue to grow. Kobe Bryant's going to be your starting nickel, right? Would you have believed me when those draft doors closed?
Well, if I had, you would have seen me in one of my all-time optimistic foreshadowing moments of saying, hey, these guys are going to kill
it. Are those all of your moments?
Well, it's constant, but that would have been one of the all-timers, because every one of those guys has come through. Shane was thrilled with the way the tackles played yesterday. There was a couple sacks that we had that were coverage deals that we had to hold the football in a desperation moment, too. But those guys played great against two really hard, difficult guys to play against. They continue to do their thing. So you're seeing it from everybody, and to see Kenneth get off like that with a run where that was as perfect a mid-zone run as we've seen. It was just blocked perfectly, run perfectly, executed beautifully. That's great for him to feel that, because that's the kind of home run hitter he is. And we haven't got him loose yet, so that's now it's coming up where he has a ton of responsibility and opportunity. We're counting on him, and so we'll see more of that. It's going to be hard to keep him from making big plays.
Well, why do you think your tackles have had such immediate success?
They're really good athletes, first of all. They're athletically primed for the positions they're playing. They're quick, they're sudden, they're strong, their length is there. They're both smart, competitive kids that have both been they've handled it really well. They've just handled it. They're not excitable guys. They're just easygoing, clear thinking guys that are handling the moment. And I just think they're just getting started. They're only five games old. So they're going to have a fantastic input for our club here. And they're off to a famous start. Really, there's a few times that you guys have noted that this has ever even happened before, even attempted before. I bet that I would challenge our two guys against any of those other pairs of, rooks that started at other times over the century here.
How's Cross been in his run block? I mean, I think we knew coming out of that system that he was going to be a pass blocking left tackle. Maybe the only question mark about him was what would he look like moving forward? How has he been in that part of the game?
He's been consistent. He's going to get better. He's going to be more physical when he's more confident and that he is right. Because when you know that you're doing exactly the right thing, you do it with more oomph, and he'll be better at that. And really, that's the same with both those guys. When they're really assured that they're doing the right stuff and they know they're on call and the footwork is right, they'll knock guys off the football even better. But they're doing a solid job, though. They're not a problem at all. And Charles in particular is doing. We run a lot of balls to the left, and he's got a lot of opportunities to block guys. He's getting it done.
So Friday, you guys probably wrapped up walkthrough, you head to the airport, you fly down to New Orleans. Saturday, you're in meetings and everything. Do you have any chance to catch what that Mariners team got done up in Toronto?
Oh, yeah, we got to watch it before, we got to see it before we got together. It was great timing. I was sitting up there in the room watching the thing happen and hoping I could carry the message down to the guys. And we showed that. We made up highlights really fast and showed it to them and had fun with them. That was an amazing comeback, man. And it if you watch that game for like six, 7 innings, you don't know. You just don't think it's happened. And then all of a sudden, bang, bang, here comes three, and then they're back in it. Huge play. I never heard about the injuries to the guys in center field. Did those guys come out?
I don't
okay?
think we've heard what happened to Springer, or at least I didn't.
It looked nasty, but what an opportunity for our guys, and they took full advantage of it. And then just a great finish. You know, it was great.
The challenge, though, is if you start yelling, can you win the game in the first inning? You got to go through it 9 times. It's not just 4 and you get Bruce Irvin screaming that's or whatever. Thought. You got to get all the way through 9 innings.
That's a good thought. If I had that opportunity, though, I'm going to soak that moment. You know?
Well, they certainly were soaked by the end of it. Champagne, beer, and everything else. Coach, thank you. We'll look forward to doing this next week, hopefully under better circumstances.
Let's go get a win.
There we go. And we will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. It is Brock and Salk here on Seattle Sports on 710. SeattleSports.com. Hey, Brock.
Is in a bar barn. See ya.
See ya.
Get to the chopper!